chapter, and I want to share with you sort of a Bible study, or come let us reason together, about words that will empower every day. They will empower you every day. I love the Word of God. In fact, the kindest thing they've ever said about full gospel people is to call us word people. Well, God, let that be. Let it be, Lord. Amen. Because it's not us, it's Him, and it's His Word. And the grass withers and the flower thereof fades away, but the Word of the Lord will be here, endure forever. In prayer, I kind of got a little head start, and I thought, I'm just going to go through Philippians and pick out, as I feel the Lord leads me, some verses of victory. I love Philippians. It's such an awesome assortment of God's truth. And I didn't get any further than the first chapter. I was wanting to get over to that last chapter. My God shall supply all of my needs. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But I found in the very first chapter, and really, this does not exhaust the first chapter. I love to not only take verses, but study the context of that and take a chapter. Take two or three chapters and just let God speak to your heart. You know, we're in times when we need all of God. We need all of God. Everything God has to offer. We need that in our minds. We need that in our physical bodies. After spending a number of days in and around people that had physical challenges, you realize the Lord is the strength of our life. I love Psalms 27. Awesome portion of God's Word. But let me give you some insights that I felt God gave me. And this does not even start to exhaust chapter 1. But some of the highlights that I felt God spoke to my heart. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said, well, Brother Nichols, do you believe in grace? Dear God, what else? What other excuse do we have for us being here today? Grace really is amazing. It's not only a song, it's reality. And I still love, I believe it was Charles Capps that gave us this definition. Grace is God's willingness to give us His best even though we don't deserve it. And I'm going to go further and make a nickel statement on that. Grace is God's best that has already been given to us. He's not only willing, He has done it, or you would, I would, we would not be here today. Do we understand that? Amen. Now, I know some people go to the extreme on that particular type of thing. The essence of it is God's grace is why we're alive. That's why we're born again. That's why we have a desire to serve God. Grace really is amazing. None of us would make it, could make it, without the grace of God. I thank God for everything that I learned as a young person. But, you know, though if you don't mix some grace with your experience with God, you'll go crazy. That's why some people just walk around bumping into walls. If you don't believe that God's bigger than your humanity, you got a problem. Amen. If you go around all day long singing, He loves me, He loves me not, He loves me, He loves me not, you'll be a basket case. He didn't save you by accident. He saved you on purpose. And the heart and the mind of God before the foundation of the world, He had you on His mind. And I love the song, He was on the cross, I was on His mind. He paid the supreme price. But you see, when we embrace the grace of God, then the peace of God begins to flow, because that peace is shalom. That's the shalom peace of God. Irene is the word for it in the New Testament, but it's virtually, it is the same meaning. Old Testament shalom, as we have heard so many times when we've gone to Israel. And then in the New Testament, it's Irene. And I'm telling you, everything, every good and perfect gift of God is tied into that peace of God. And so God wants you to count to 10 and take a deep breath and relax and enjoy the journey. Don't be uptight. Don't be just stop arguing with yourself and agree with God and let's go forward. But you see, when we embrace God's grace, then God's shalom peace will flow in you. That's the reason some people are as mean as they are. They don't have peace. And they don't want you to have peace. And if they see peace in you, it makes them mad. Thank God for grace. And thank God for peace. Amen. Oh, I thank God for His power. I thank God for the power gifts. I thank God for revelation, all of it. But you know, we used to sing a song. Some of those old songs just keep circling in my own thinking. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Wonderful, it is wonderful. Coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. So we need to take a new look at the grace of God. Not only is grace God's willingness to give you His best even though you don't deserve it. I never thought I'd do one-upmanship on Brother Capps. But I'm telling you, it's not only God's willingness, honey. You've had it big time. And if you're here this morning especially, you're big time into the grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord. Oh, and it comes from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, God's wonderful grace. In the fourth verse, so here's the thing. I mean, life gets difficult. Just pause and say, wait a minute. I'm a product of the amazing grace of God. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be, and I'm on the way to being everything Jesus died for me to be. And in the meantime, thank God things are as good as they are. Amen. Getting better every day. Secondly, in the fourth verse, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Always in every prayer. Every prayer. Every prayer. Every prayer. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. God wants you to have a happy prayer life. Joyful prayer life. Well, God, you know how things are on this earth, you know. Dear God, He knows. But oh, we need to be happy warriors, happy prayers. Praise God. Pray about everything. Pray without ceasing is the admonition of God's word. Pray. If in doubt, pray. Amen. And the more you pray, the less you'll be in doubt. Praise God. There's a third insight in verse 6. And I love this verse. This has been one of my life verses. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God not only has the power to save you, God has the power to perform His word and work in you. daily be confident of this very thing. Seems like we're confident sometimes about the wrong thing. We anticipate the negative. But be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. If you're born again, hey, I've got good news for you. God has begun a good work in you. How many born again people do we have here this morning? Brother Pryor, I think I saw 20 that didn't. We'll have another altar call here. We're known to have more than one altar call in Calvary Cathedral International. We don't get a fish on the first one. We go after it on the second one. Oh, thank God. Confident. Andre Crouch wrote that song that went around the world. I've got confidence. God's going to see me through. No matter what may come, God is with us. I've got confidence. Confidence. You know, you can see it in people's faces. You can see it in children's faces. You can see it in athletes' faces. Confidence that what God has started. I'm going to tell you, there's been many a time I thought, man, alive. I just felt like I was about to slam dunk against the wall. And then I remembered that something has been started in me that God promised he's going to finish it. Now, you need to cooperate with him. Hallelujah. I said you need to cooperate with him. But you know, if you've ever really had an experience with Christ, you'll never be happy the longest day you live until you live for God. I meet people all the time. Well, I used to go to church. I meet people all over this city. There's people all over this city that have been through Calvary in 52 years. It's amazing. Yeah, but something got wrong. Hey, God wants you to live confidently. Get back on the confidence train. Praise God. Now, here's another one, a fourth insight in the 12th verse. And this is so important. He said the things, well, let's read it exactly here. But I would have you to understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me. How many times have things happened to all of us? It looked like God left town and has an unlisted phone number. Yeah. I would have you to understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Now, I hope I can say it like I felt like God put it in my heart. You are now positioned for greater victories because of the things you've gone through. Some Christians haven't gone through much of anything, and therefore they're duh. But you know, when you've gone through some stuff and you've come through some stuff and you still have the victory and you know that if God be for us, who can be against us? You're just getting ready to live. And I don't mean to be unkind because of anyone's age, but I've said it for a number of years. You know, you have to live a while to have enough sense to know how to live. Kind of like Brother Greg Moore says, you know, there's just so many things that I did not used to understand. But now I understand. Oh, you don't have to wait until you get to heaven to understand. A lot of that you will, but you're now positioned for greater victory. See, some people, God can't trust them with greater victories because they haven't. Oh, don't be tacky. Thank God for our Christian school. We teach them something. I said we teach them something in our Christian school. Amen. Thank God for a quality Christian school. I was shocked at the high percentage of Tarrant County schools that are under. You know, that was the one thing I wanted to start a school long before we did, but we didn't have the room for it in the little post office building. We tried, but we couldn't even get started there. Then we moved downtown, and we had plenty of room, so we started. And we were so small, we rattled in that big building. But you know, I always said if we have a school, I want it to be a good school. I want our kids to learn something, be taught something, and not just have an excuse to have a Christian school. And I thank God that Calvary Christian Academy is an outstanding school, and it's an outstanding Christian school. And we thank God for it. But Paul said, the things which have happened unto me have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. Of the gospel, of course, we know it's the gospel of Christ. You know, the tornado of 2000. The faith I'd been teaching and preaching kicked in when I was little. I was having to play catch up myself. I found my mouth speaking the word. If we had not had the tornado, we would not have a school next door. No, you didn't hear what I said. If we had not had that devastating tornado, we had a Christian school, but we did, but we didn't. Everything was in other kind of rooms. If it had not been for the tornado and the blessing that came out of the final settlements of the tornado, there would not be Calvary Christian Academy next door. So we were thrown temporarily into, what are we going to do? The old flagpole was bent because of the wind and the storm. We were driving around in my SUV trying to find a place for a school to meet. It was depressing. Old mildewed warehouses, and I mean, you just couldn't. We'd come out and say, God's got to have something better than this. Good Lord. And then all of a sudden, thank God, the Church of Christ. Thank God for Midtown, now Heritage Church of Christ, that embraced our school in their building here and invited us to start coming and having services from the tent. You remember the tent. Everybody loves a tent until it rains. I still remember the ladies taking their shoes off because we had a little stream running through the tent. 2 months we were in the gospel tent, a prison gospel tent. Thank God, it was a good one. God bless Mike Barber. God bless him. And this church invited us to come and have service on Thursday afternoon. I mean, on Sunday afternoon and then on Thursday night. And we did. And God's blessed them and God's blessed us. But if it had not been for the storm, I mean, some people... I've talked to some people, they act like I'm responsible for the storm. Well, we had that tornado, so I ain't been back. Well. Anyway, praise God. But if it had not, listen to me, if it had not been for the storm, and if it had not been for certain storms in your life, and my life, and our lives, sometimes storms in your marriage, sometimes storms with your children, sometimes economic storms. If it had not been for the storms, we wouldn't have the victories we have. Praise God. Thank God. In the middle of the storm, we don't always have the presence of mind or of faith to thank God for the storm. But we can look back now and say that God was in so many things that we didn't realize. I'm not saying God tore things up, but God had something better. Several million times better. Thank God. The things which happened unto me. You know, some people all of their life, well, how you doing, brother? Well, if you just knew what happened to me. Hey, come on. Get it off. Get it up. What happened to you could have been the making of you if you let it. You're sharper, you're smarter, You're still on 2 feet. Thank God for it. Well, I've got to move on quickly here. We find in verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You know, it's really amazing. I love Job, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4, especially. One translation of that said, your words have put men back on their feet again. Amen. I was just sitting down resting for a few moments after being busy doing several things, and I listened to Bobby Shuler out in California. Guy preached one of the strongest word messages I've heard in a long time. A lot of full gospel churches need to get back on preaching the power of words. And what we say affects us and it affects others. Our words. We locate ourselves by our words. And I mean, I listened to him for several minutes. He did an excellent job on the power of the words. I think anyone that runs for a political office ought to have to read Proverbs every day. Okay, we'll move along here. Let your conversation be what? As it becometh the gospel of Christ. What would you say if Jesus was here? Honey, I got a little tip for you. He's here. You think he's on vacation? My. God help all of us to let our conversation be as it becomes. See, we're talking about words that will empower you every day. So things are difficult. Remember grace and peace. Remember praying about everything. Remember about being confident of this very thing. Remember that the things which you thought just ruined your life could have saved your life. And look how smart you are now. You're not as slow as you used to be. You can read the plays of the evil one. Whereas before you just say, done, take another drink. Or do whatever. You know, there was another one in verse 27, our conversation. Your words, I'll put 4 things together. My head's racing here. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And again, I want to call your attention, Job, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4. And I love that translation. And it reads almost like that there, that your words have put men back on their feet again. Do your words knock people off their feet? Put them back on their feet. Do your words lift or do they push down? Do your words push people back or do they give them a step up? Praise God. Here in verse 27, let's look at verse 27. We're almost through with the message today. The latter part of that verse. That you stand fast. Your conversation's important, but stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together, not apart, for the faith of the gospel. I'm going to tell you, Satan can't stop a marriage when they're in agreement. Amen. But if he can get a little wedge between, the husband or the wife or whatever, Satan is the author of strife, division. If he can get you quarrelsome, he's got you in trouble. Got you in trouble. But stand fast. See, this is the way strong churches are built. Stand fast in one spirit. That's the secret of the day of Pentecost. That was the evil secret of the Tower of Babel. Wicked people got their heads together. We're going to heaven without God. And God saw that it was so serious that he had to come down and confuse the languages. You say, well, they didn't have the ability to do it. You know, I'm going to leave that one alone. If God sees something so serious that he needs to go bring correction there or judgment, you better leave it alone. Reminds me of an old saying, when God has somebody in the woodshed, don't get between them. Now, for those that need explanation for that, we'll have a class this week. A special flat screen television. When God has somebody in the woodshed, don't get between God and them. Leave it alone and pray for them. Get mixed in that, you get licks with it, see? All right, stay on track here. Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving, not fussing, but striving together for the faith of the gospel. Oh, the power of unity. The power of unity. I said the power of unity. Amen. The power of unity. All music directors, music people know, you know, you got perfect harmony going, but you hear something and they're, and everybody's going, you know. They're doing the best they know how to do, but the harmony is not flowing. But oh, God says, the day of Pentecost, they were in one place, in one accord. And I'll tell you, that's the sweetest place in the whole wide world. Get in agreement with faith people and just hang in there. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hey, amen, amen. One more here. I think we have time for this. That's in verse 28. In verse 28, and this is, I've got a big star by this one in my Bible. In nothing terrified by your adversaries. What does that word terrify mean? It is the ultimate fear of failing and falling. Now, I put several people's opinion on that, and I finally just said, This is as good as any. It's ultimate fear of falling and failing, or failing and falling. Don't be terrified. Don't be terrified. In nothing terrified by your adversaries. You see, don't let Satan get you off course. Don't let him divert your attention. I was just thinking of David there in the story of David and Goliath. You know, for the first time it dawned on me, they were close enough to have a conversation. It was probably a shouting conversation. But I mean, they're not a hill apart. They're close enough to talk about what each of them say they're going to do. I'm here to tell you what I'm going to do to you. And what are you going to say about that? And so the giant said, I'm going to kill you. And he was close enough to hear David say, you come against me with a sword, a spear, and a shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is the biggest, baddest, most terrible army in the universe. Don't pick a fight with the Lord of hosts. I'd never really noticed the Lord of hosts there. Isn't that something? You preach about things for years and you think you've just got it all in your heart and your head. But David said, you just trot yourself out here. All you've got is a spear, a shield, and the armor of a shield, hopefully. But we come against life in the name, in the name, in the name of the Lord of hosts. The name of the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. Don't let anything divert your attention. One of our men showed me an interesting situation. Michael Phelps, the man that's won so many medals, he's swimming, but the guy that's trying to beat him, remember, Michael in this photo, he's looking straight ahead. The man that's trying to beat him looked over to see where he was. Michael won and the other one lost. Satan's doing everything in the world to get your eyes off of Jesus, off of the Word of God, off of the prize, off of the goal. We were skiing up in Winter Park. I never will forget it. We were skiing down a certain slope there, and someone hollered out, "Hey, George!" We looked over to the side, and this guy turned around and said, "Hey!" And he flipped and did a windmill, and I mean, he crashed. Well, we're coming down the same hill, and my brother-in-law was with me, Rex. He's gone on to be with the Lord several years ago, but little guy's a good skier. He had a little mischief in him, too. And about the same place, he spots this guy, and he says, "Hey, George!" And the guy said, "Huh?" That worked three times. I didn't do it. He did it. You see, I'm just watching the crime, you understand. And the fourth time, we were coming down that same hill, and he says, "Hey, George." George, he would not look. George learned his lesson. Some of us haven't learned our lesson in something. "Hey, George." There it goes again, you know. Just don't let the devil keep messing you up in the same thing. It's time George got smart. That George got smart. He stopped falling. I thought, that's just like some Christians. Every time they go down the slope of life, somebody says something, and here they go. We used to sing an old song, "I'm going through, I'm going through, I'll pay the price. Whatever others do, I'll take the way with God's anointed few. I'm going through, Jesus, I'm going through." I just want to say to every person in this audience today, Jesus has paid the price for you to win the prize. Jesus has already paid the price for everything in your life to be blessed. I'm finding difficulty getting the words out, but Jesus has already paid it all. And if we'll just believe Him and speak the Word of God, in nothing be terrified by our adversaries. Remember that the God that called you is able to keep you. You say, "But I messed up." But who hasn't? The God that calls you is able to keep you. He's able to keep you from falling, failing. Whew. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. That's just chapter one, and I didn't exhaust chapter one of Philippians. Father God, in Jesus' name, I just take authority over any spirit of quit, any spirit of defeat, any terror of the adversary. Those that came this morning, they feel like they're driving on black ice, out of control. Oh God, I pray that a boldness and a confidence of God, a strength of God, the ability of God will touch every person in this room right now, Lord. Oh, let the Spirit of the Lord God rest upon this congregation today. Lord, no matter what is happening in them or around them, that they'll embrace the truths of Philippians chapter 1. That the God who saved us is able to keep us. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet if you will. You are already there. I'm just praising God with my eyes closed. Let's lift our voice and thank God. Thank God for His love. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Just take failure and quit. Disaster and failure and falling. Take it out of your vocabulary. And say, I stand on the Word of God. I stand on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, to be